Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for our message. Comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." We pray. Lord God, as we live our lives, we see good things, we see bad things, we see things that would distract us and keep us from being focused and seated, listening to your word. We pray that you would once again refresh us, remind us that of that one thing that is needful, to be at your feet, to hear and serve, receive your words of life with joy. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you use the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest"? We use this one?
Okay.
So we all pretty much know this one. And let these gifts us be blessed. Amen. Well, we've probably said that, who knows, probably thousands of times. And how many of us have forgotten about what we're saying when we pray the prayer? Right? It's pretty easy to just kind of say that one and to just forget about what we're actually saying, right? And we're actually inviting the Lord Jesus to be our guest at our table. And he's actually coming with his presence to be with us, to join us. And easily, like Martha, we can get distracted. And the thing about the story of Mary and Martha is that these are disciples and followers of Jesus, right? These aren't just non-Christians or unbelievers, faithful followers of Jesus. But yet we see even here that we get distracted and bogged down by the things that they're anxious about and troubled by. And you might have heard before that Martha wasn't really doing anything necessarily wrong. It was just that Mary was doing what was better and necessary. Actually, that last verse, "Mary has chosen the good portion," can actually be translated as, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So there can be a lot of things on our to-do list every day that call for our attention and beg us to get it done, that tell us it's necessary. And there might even be good things, such as taking care of our families, just preparing a meal, such as cleaning the house, maybe taking care of the pets and the dogs, maybe helping with homework, maybe planning vacations, maybe visiting family, relatives. You're planning what you're going to do for the day. And it's easy to let all that overshadow the best thing and the most necessary thing. And Jesus has come to be our guest. Because of that, everything is different. What happens is when we just focus on those tasks to get done, we just focus on the good things to get done, we can easily become judgmental like Martha and to just look down on those Marys, those lazy people, and think, oh, why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't they helping out? Doesn't the Lord care about all the good things that I'm doing? Isn't he going to tell other people to help me? It quickly changes our attitude so that we're no longer focused on Christ, but rather simply focused on service. See, Paul even writes in Colossians that he toils with all energy to be used by God. And it's the last verse of our Colossians reading. For this I toil, struggling with all of my energy, all of his energy, that he powerfully works within me. So even as Paul toiled to teach and to warn everybody about the wisdom found in Christ, so that people would be mature in Christ and the faith, even recognizes that all that comes from the strength and the power of Christ working in him. And the less time we take away from that one-on-one time with Christ, the more we start to think it's our own strength, and then it's our task and it's our life, and that it's more important, or that we somehow have more wisdom than what Christ would have. So while those things are good that we do every day, a lot of those things, there's something that's better, and it's to be at the feet of Jesus and to listen. Because he has come to be our guest. We find not only one, but two examples of Jesus coming to be the guest in the Old Testament and the New Testament reading. Both welcome the Lord. It's actually a picture in the Old Testament reading of Jesus before he was became man. It's called a Christophany. Literally, Jesus before he became born of the Virgin Mary. Here's to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham listens while Sarah just kind of stands at the entrance of the tent, pretending, just kind of maybe wondering if it's worth hearing. And she actually laughs at what God has to say. That she would bear a son, even though she's well beyond the age of childbearing. It's easy to kind of sit back, even though we have recognized that the Lord has welcomed their house, not even to still laugh, even scoff at what he would have to say to us today, or even to get distracted like Martha. And as some of you know, my brother's family was visiting today, or at our worship service, and they were visiting this week. We got to spend time with them. So they're here for 3 weeks of this year. And they got two kids, and there are a lot of energy with those kids, right? There's a lot of things to do to take care of the kids and get them ready and make the food and keep them entertained and everything like that, right? It can be really easy to kind of just forget that Jesus is the most important guest. That Jesus is actually with us in the midst of all of that, teaching us what is necessary, working through us, blessing us. And it's one of the times when it got really hectic in me. Decided to read a Bible story. It was actually called The Captain of the Storm. Oh, Jesus, stilling the storm. And it's interesting how even things got more peaceful and quiet when we started to remember that Jesus is with us. There's some recent reports on the LCMS that kind of reveal that our adult Bible studies have not been very well attended, despite our beliefs in sola scriptura, and this is the Word of God, it's the authority for our lives. I think we'd all agree with that. But for whatever reason, we seem to easily find more things that are more necessary than to be at the feet of Jesus. But notice the contrast between Mary and Martha. That Martha's anxious and troubled about many things, but Mary has the one thing. People may think that the Word of God is boring, or impractical, or irrelevant, or not entertaining enough, or that it's just not really helpful for me. But we can learn a lesson from Mary here. As she just sits, and is laser light focused on hearing and receiving the words of Jesus. And that nothing else matters but to receive what Jesus is giving her. And eventually Mary would get up, right? She wouldn't be there the whole time. She would go up and serve and get things done. But she will go with remembering that Jesus was with her. And that she already had the one thing necessary. It is good to do acts of service. It's better to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen. But what is best is that Jesus comes to serve you and me. And he doesn't visit us to judge us or condemn us, but he comes to actually serve us, to give us what we need. Where it says in Mark 10, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Interesting when you have a guest and they actually come and end up serving you. They make you dinner. They end up helping you with the dishes or something like that. It just doesn't seem right. Hey, you're the guest. I should be serving you, right? But yet Jesus comes as our guest and he ends up being the one doing the serving. Because that is how he comes, humble, and gentle, loving, concerned about our well-being. Despite all of our apathy, neglect, and our doubt, and our worries, that somehow his arm is too short, or that his word is too impractical to help with our lives. Paul says in Colossians, you were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before God. While we were separated and hostile towards God, he reconciled us to him through the cross, through his death and resurrection, making us so that when God looks at us, he sees us as holy and blameless because of the righteousness of Christ that covers us. So we can know that as Jesus comes to us, we We are favored in His sight because of Christ. And we see that because of Jesus is a part of work such amazing things. We know that His Word is not something that's boring. We know it's not impractical. We know it's not too weak. We know it's not irrelevant. No, we know it's the key to our salvation. And He has the power to transform us. And the power to preserve us. And it reveals to us the mystery hidden for long ages that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. I think all of you had a chance to grab that poem as you came in, perhaps. You had that poem, Love Baby, Welcome by George Herbert. This really gives us a good parallel of the love of Christ when you just think about Jesus as being where the word love is. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me, grew slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. Aghast, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I being kind and grateful? Ah, oh, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Kind of see the picture of how when Jesus bids us to come to Him, our souls might draw back because of our guilt and our shame and our fear or our doubt, or because we think other things are more important, or our unworthiness. And Jesus comes to us and reminds us, I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who bore the blame for all those sins, for all of your evil. And now instead of you serving me, I'm actually going to serve you and give you the strength to go out. Jesus comes to us and serves us is the best thing about this text. Not only comes into our homes, but into our hearts, into our lives, into our world. He comes to bring us life, peace, everlasting hope, and freedom and joy. So I think we can see this prayer a little bit differently than we heard in the beginning. Bid us come, Lord Jesus, and sit as your guest. And let your gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hey, you heard God's word, you take a moment to just